Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. And when I call to thee and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. Restore the balance of the universal mind. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes a circle whole. And when I call to thee and come on bending knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat
Shalom, Holy Angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
The first Earth Goddess Rising Retreat is set for July 11, 12, and 13 of 2014 and will be held in stunning Pagosa Springs, Colorado. Come join us with other men and women from around the world for yoga, meditation, classes, organic meals, dance and music festivities, healing workshops, hot mineral springs, and more. Want more information? Visit earthgoddessrising.com and cash in on the early bird ticket sales, earthgoddessrising.com.
Thank you for joining me here tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I'm your hostess this evening. The music you were listening to at the beginning of the show is I Sense Your Presence. It's by Shemshai, and it's a great little group I met while I was in the Arizona area. They were in Sedona at the time that I met them, and, of course, they're traveling around the world, enjoying the dream, being everywhere, playing all their gigs. And you can always check them out, by the way, at shemshai.com, and that's at the bottom of our show description. That would be shimshai.com, and every now and then they put out some free downloads, so you might want to check that out as well. I just want to extend a welcome to everybody that's listening tonight, whether you're returning and you've listened to the show before or whether you're joining us here for the first time. And we do have streaming live going on in three additional places. We have it going on at TalkStream Live, StreamFinder, and PEN, also known as Paracounters Network. And I welcome everybody listening through all of those channels as well. And I also appreciate tonight's sponsor, Earth Goddess Rising. Definitely take a look at what they've got going on coming up this summer, earthgoddessrising.com. Here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I look at different ways that compassion exists in our lives, how to remove our blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. Some weeks I'm discussing different aspects of how compassion is in our life and how it affects our life and the different areas of compassion. And some weeks we will be doing more exercises and practical implementations. And then many times, actually most of the time, I've got guests on the show. And tonight is no exception for having an exceptional guest on the show. And this gives me a chance to show you how other things work with and complement being with compassion. And also, I sometimes highlight some different musical artists along the way. Last year I had Grammy nominees Stephen Halpert on, Peter Cater was on, working on a little something else with some other big names this year, so you'll have to stay tuned and see who those are going to be. I promise they'll be just as big. Sometimes, or in some circles, they might even be considered bigger. In my work, what I do is I focus on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday lives. I've created the Genesis Clearing Statement, and if you've missed that, you can catch it in our archives. I've also authored four books, the most recent being You, Me, Life, Dreams, and the Companion Workbook, and also then my first two books, Activating Compassion and Its Companion Workbook. In addition, I've created the Compassion Tour, a multi-state nationwide tour that includes workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, and fundraising events. And actually, you can follow all the events going on live through my event site, which is jessieannicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And actually, there's seven really incredible events going on that are all in line and tuned with the seasons. You might want to check those out. We have one of those coming up actually the first weekend of May, so definitely worth taking a look at. Just a reminder, if you enjoyed the show this evening, make sure that you tell your friends, family, significant others, Facebook connections, and, you know, anybody else you feel compelled to share it with. I do find when I share it through my social media that pretty much there's always somebody that comes through and says, I was just talking about this, or that's exactly what I needed. So you never know whose life you're going to change by making that share on there. And they can always just catch it at the same link in our archives, or they can also go onto my webpage where I keep all of the archived shows. That would be jessieannicholsgeorge1.com. Go to the Main Street Universe tab, find my name, and you'll get to that page. It's got all the archives listed right there for you. And in addition to that, they can also catch it at iTunes, tunein.com, both as podcasts, and then on my YouTube channel as well. I do a YouTube version, and that's usually up within 24 hours after the show. Now, before we get started, I like to delve into a little book by Yehuda Berg called The 72 Names of God, Technology for the Soul. And in this little book here, I like Yehuda's work because he always takes these big concepts, puts them into everyday languages, and gives us a little something to ponder throughout the week. And this also goes up on my page of the Main Street Universe tab. And so let's see what we've got tonight, what his message is. And the message he has for us tonight, the common name of God, is dream state. And with this, the message says, according to Kabbalah, our physical universe is not all there is. In fact, our world of early morning coffee and traffic jams is just one of many dimensions. These other dimensions are accessible in different ways, one of which is through our dreams. And the insight he provides with this is, when we fall asleep, the daily chains of physical existence that trap our souls and our bodies loosen. As we slumber, our souls become free to ascend into the spiritual atmosphere where they receive nourishment, power, and the occasional tune-up. During this nightly sojourn, our souls are in a realm beyond time and space. Past, present, and future become one. The full panorama of a human lifespan is displayed from birth to death. Our souls catch sight of future events, both positive and negative. These glimpses are then filtered down to the body where they can take the form of dreams. Dreams contain both lies and truths. If we're spiritual, our dreams are predominantly truthful. If we're egocentric, our dreams will be misleading. These influences affect us subconsciously, impacting the decisions we make in life. The more truthful our dreams, the wiser choices we make, and vice versa. If we can extrapolate the messages from our dreams and nightmares, consciously and subconsciously, we understand what we have to change about ourselves. Spiritual change is the proactive way to deflect negative effects and judgments that might be heading our way. And the meditation he gives with this is, with this name, you dream truthfully. Your soul ascends to safe and loving places during the night. You awake each morning recharged, reinvigorated, renewed in body and spirit, wiser. It's a great thing to think about because, you know, when we're dreaming, we catch all kinds of glimpses of what we want our waking life to be like, what our environment is like. And our environment, as we've talked about in previous shows, makes a difference in how well we sleep or don't sleep at night. And we're going to delve into some of these very little things about what's coming up when you're getting ready to do maybe a little remodeling this spring. We might want to consider, what's your bedroom doing for you? Are you getting that rest? Are you getting that wisdom coming through? Is it serving you as much as you need to, as well as other rooms in the house? Now, before we head out on break and bring our guest on, a little something for you to think about while we're there, and that is, when was the last time you thought about the efficiency of your home? Do you search out green options when working on home projects? Can green designing do more for us than just be environmentally friendly? This time of year, a lot of people are doing spring cleaning. They're starting to focus on their home projects and thinking about what they want to spruce up in a, you know, different parts of their home and their environment. And however, too often, I see people do this in very haphazard ways. Oftentimes, they simply will go get the cheapest thing they can make to make a shift. Take, for example, putting a fresh coat of paint on things. It is true that this can breathe new life into a space or room. This, in turn, can also provide an emotional boost. Emotional boost in there. Getting my tongue twisted up a little bit tonight here. However, how many of us stop and think about what is in that can or bucket of paint? It may sound good to get a deal, and yet in reality, you could be putting yourself at risk for other issues. Latex is one of many components that are not very environmentally friendly. That is often found in paint. It is also something that can cause toxicity to our bodies. So let's say you saved $30 on that deal. but then ended up sick and having to see a doctor. Where have you saved? Not to mention, is that $30 really worth the breakdown of your health? Which also can lead to depression and other toxic thoughts and emotions. Green options are not always more expensive and can have a great impact on us body, mind, and spirit. When we use green products and options, we are working in harmony with the universe. There's a vibration that emits that can actually help us keep our own vibration elevated. This means happier feelings, clearer thoughts, and a healthier body. Most people spend one-third of their life in bed, and probably more than that in their home. How powerful would it be to be surrounded by positive and harmonious vibrations? Amy Stevens, co-founder of Stevens ID, a whole and unified approach to this concept, is what she brings. And her company blends biobiology, which deals with the energy level, sustainable building, green interior design, feng shui, and interior repurposing. And there's no question that this work of helping people lead lives in harmony with the environment is a necessary and desired direction. She helps people to balance their environments, which in turn also balances our earth. I really love this aspect of harmony, consciousness, and soul living. With the way things are shifting in natural resources, we need to pay extra attention to what we are using and surrounding ourselves with. Hopefully, as you delve into home projects this year, you will keep these things in mind as well. What are you doing to go green around your home? Have you sought out environmentally friendly options? Have you looked into living more of a sustainable lifestyle? This week, our guest focuses on a component of compassion that is related to the aspect in my books of creating a new world. And this reminds us that we have the choice to live in any kind of world we choose. In order to do this, we need to create an inner and outer harmony. Working with nature and not against it allows us to do this. I'm going to be taking a short break, and when we return, I will have Amy Stevens with us, and she's going to be sharing her work with green interior design and sustainability. And the song I've got for you during our break is called Dreaming with Wings, and it's also known as Freedom Freedom. It's by Claire Hedin, and if you'd like to check out more of her work, you can do so at clairehedin.com, and that is clairehedin.com. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Listening, listening for an answer. Listening, listening for a sign. Traveling, traveling to the future. Talking, talking. a sense of sadness. Lonely feeling prompting me to
Earth Goddess Rising Retreat is set for July 11, 12, and 13 of 2014. Embrace your divine feminine and balance the masculine. Nourish your body, mind, and spirit with a 3-day program intended to inspire, clear, and heal your being. You don't want to miss out on the great early ticket sales. Need more information? Explore earthgoddessrising.com. Cash in on the early bird ticket sales today. earthgoddessrising.com.
And welcome back. You are listening to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I'm your hostess this evening. You were just listening to a song called Dreaming with Wings, also known as Freedom, Freedom, by Claire Hedin. And you can check out more of her work at www.clairehedin.com, and that's clarehedin.com. And a special thanks again to our sponsor tonight, and that would be Earth Goddess Rising. For those that can't see the show description, that would be www.earthgoddessrising.com. They've got a great event going on. Now it's time for us to get to our guest tonight, and I would like to bring on my guest, Amy Stevens. She is the co-founder and owner of Stevens ID and Associates. Amy has helped corporations and homeowners over the last 14 years in creating more balance in their environments, always thinking creatively, both personally and professionally. Amy added yoga instructor to her list of services in 1998 and opened her own studio in 1999. Amy is intuitively aware of spaces and the energetic flow within a space. She graduated from William Woods University in Fulton, Missouri, with a BFA in interior design and a minor in business in 1997. Amy began her study of feng shui and has studied with Roger Green, Catherine Metz, and graduated from the Western School of Feng Shui and the School of Graceful Lifestyles. As a student of Bao Biology and Sustainable Building Advisor Program, Amy has learned about creating healthier spaces for each of her clients. We look at her work tonight in green interior design and sustainable building, and you can certainly learn more about Amy's work at www.stevensid.com, and that is STEPHENSID.com. And let me get her mic opened up here. Amy, it is so wonderful to have you on the show tonight.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
I definitely appreciate having you here on Activating Compassion, and it's so great. For those of our listeners out here, I knew Amy from way back when I was living in Arizona, and we first met and I was taking a yoga class from her, and we kind of connected, and it was funny, we never really got a huge chance to connect in person there outside of class, and here we are all these years later still staying in touch. So thank you so much for your time, because I know you came right off of working tonight and into the show.
Yes, no, this was perfect. This was perfect. I'm in a great mental space for this as well. I did a tour this evening at Taliesin West, which is Frank Lloyd Wright's School of Architecture. So I'm kind of in my Zen moment right now as well.
And for those that aren't familiar with Taliesin West, share a little bit about what that is.
Sure. So Taliesin West is the Frank Lloyd Wright School of Architecture. West location is in Scottsdale, Arizona, and the winter camp of his School of Architecture. So it was established in 1937. Here in Scottsdale, Arizona, but the school itself actually started in 1932 in Wisconsin. So we have two campuses that the students still move between each year. So there's 6 months here in Arizona and then 6 months back in Wisconsin. So they have great weather all the time, never the heat of the summer months.
Which is fantastic, and we were talking a little before the show that, you know, he really is a great influence for this type of work you're doing and for sustainable building, because that's what he did, was work completely with the environment in his design.
Yes.
And built it to be compatible with the environment.
Yes, Lloyd Wright's philosophy was nature, the influence of their natural surroundings. So some of his more popular designs are the Guggenheim Museum, Falling Water Project in western Pennsylvania, and then our property here in Arizona, as well as the one in Wisconsin, are also very popular locations. But in Oak Park, Illinois, he was known for the prairie homes. So always how the natural environment incorporated into his style of architecture. His entrance areas were usually quite short, and then you open up into a big open space, and so it's called compress and release, which is what he referred to through these entries and then moving into the bigger spaces. Getting the influence of how low some of his furnishings were, connecting you to outside and having beautiful views so frequently in each of his structures. So tonight they did a night tour and had a great group and 2 hours long, and just seeing the whole environment of the city at night, but also the campus at night. It's very dimly lit and not overpowered by lighting that we have in some of our suburbia areas.
It is a beautiful piece of property there, and I've been there, and I've actually gotten to take the tour once when I was living there. I had some company come in from out of town. They're like, I have to go there. And it really was just truly amazing. Amy, I would love for you to share a bit about your background and what brought you into this amazing work that you're doing now.
Well, it's funny. Back in high school, they ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to go to college for? And I pondered on it. I actually took a home ec class in high school, and a portion of it was about interior design, doing a floor plan, picking out colors and paint and so forth. And it really resonated with me. It felt right. The other part of it was my senior term paper that I had to do for English class. I'd actually picked Frank Lloyd Wright as my subject matter. So it's funny, as you're asking me all this, how it all kind of comes back to him. So it just really set with me. And so I decided to go into interior design and went to a four-year university for that. Finished up a semester early, so I got out in the real world. I'm not sure why exactly I did that so quickly, but I did. And then did my internship with Herman Miller. Now, I'm originally from the Midwest. So I worked out of the Herman Miller corporate office in St. Louis, Missouri, and just really loved the commercial environment of interior design. When I was in college, I did an internship at both residential and commercial locations and then went into working for a dealership, a Herman Miller dealership in Illinois, for a brief amount of time. And then when I moved back to St. Louis in 96, I, working for a really wonderful company, very small healthcare design company in St. Louis, and we all had a really great working relationship. But I kept feeling like something was missing. My intuition kept tapping me into things. And with healthcare design, you're dealing with not just patients in a hospital, but also we were doing a lot with nursing homes and doctor's suites. And I just kept getting this feeling that there's something else. I'm missing something. Something else needs to be happening. And I came across a flyer about feng shui. And when I went to Kansas City, did the trip across Missouri, went to Kansas City for a weekend workshop and was sitting there just kind of shaking my head the whole time and feeling like, well, why are these people asking such silly questions? Doesn't everybody understand this? But apparently my intuition was stronger, and this is just embedded in me. So it resonates. Feng shui is just something that totally resonated for me. And at the same time, in a stressed-out interior design career, learning about feng shui and the changes, and I started incorporating some of those changes into my home, but also into our office. My boss said to me, don't tell anybody what you're doing. Don't talk about it. Don't bring it up. Don't do anything. So this is like 96, 97. So that was a Midwest mentality at that point as well. And then I got into doing yoga all at the same time. So there was a lot of shifting going on at that point in my life. And, you know, things all align at certain times, and it shook everything up. I actually ended up quitting my job with that company about 6 months later after I got into doing feng shui as well as yoga. And took a few months off and then decided to get my yoga certification. But I've always been involved with both parts, the interior design as well as yoga. So it's always been happening at the same time. So it's interesting because you're balancing your physical surroundings, you're balancing your physical body, your mental body, and hopefully all of it awakens your spiritual body.
I'm so glad that you tied that together because I was thinking of a couple of things that came up while you were talking. And I was thinking, one, you know, so often we know when we're kids what we want to do, but we either get distracted by other people or we don't follow through on it, or society has told us you can't do that because you're a girl, or you can't do that because you're a boy, or things like this. And yet we know when we're young. And it is interesting how I'm sure in high school you were not thinking when you wrote that paper that I would be working at the Frank Lloyd Wright property.
No. No. Not at all.
And then it comes full circle around and you're sitting there going, wow, here I was years ago. And my soul was already tuned in to this being a part of my life and knowing it needed that. So I find those things very interesting. And I'm glad you tied the yoga in, because a lot of people think, well, you know, when I'm, what is there to you know, putting a new floor down or you know, painting the walls in the place? But yet it's that attunement, just like we attune to our body in yoga and we start to notice the very subtle differences as our body shifts and changes and can stretch more or do this or do that. I think our space kind of does the same thing, you know, by putting one type of flooring down or a different type of flooring or one color versus another color, it brings a whole new flexibility, even though technically the space is the same.
Well, and color, I'm sitting here looking around my space right now and observing color and being reminded of a couple of things. Now, I grew up in a household where we were not allowed to have color on the walls. It had to be white. So, of course, when I had my own space, I painted. First thing I did. I did not want to have white walls anymore. I wanted color in my life. So I went to the opposite extreme, and I painted one wall. It was the wall of my the head of my bed, and I painted it a beautiful, what I call an Asian red color. I have since learned that that was not an appropriate choice.
I was just going to say,
colors
at your bedroom.
Yes, color. Now, this was before I got into feng shui as well, and got more into the color psychology as well. But there's warm tones and cool tones. I constantly felt like I was on fire. And it was the winter of Midwest. There was snow outside, but yet I felt like I was on fire. I was constantly hot, and I couldn't cool off. So I started researching about colors and so forth, and it's not something that I learned when I was in college, to be honest with you, but it was something I started to look into a little bit more, and sure enough, you know, the warm tones are providing that heating element. Now, again, being highly intuitive myself, it affected me much greater than it might somebody else. So everybody's different with that, but depending on your climate, depending on what feels comfortable for you as well. When I moved from St. Louis to Arizona, the first thing I did was I painted my bedroom a soft yellow, thinking that it was a soft, kind of a buttery tone, so it was a softer yellow, not bright gold, thinking that that would be okay. Well, I was on the west-facing side of the home, and the shade tree out front doesn't shade enough, and my room was again on fire. So it's really incredible how the impact of color is on a space as well. All of my research now about paints and materials and so forth, this is something that's very important for people to understand, not just from a commercial standpoint or a residential standpoint, but really from all aspects. You know, you're at your office at a minimum of an eight-hour day. You're breathing in sometimes some toxic chemicals, and we don't even realize it. One feature I will say immediately, that new car smell is not a good thing. So when we're even in an office space and you smell new paint or you smell carpet or anything, you know, that's not a good thing. It's called a flush out that should occur in a commercial space to provide all of those chemicals to leave the space for about a two-week period of time before occupancy occurs for the space. So that's from a commercial standpoint. From a residential standpoint, really read the labels on paints. major manufacturers are doing better now about providing alternatives, not just the cheap stuff that's easy and readily available. Yes, you're going to pay a little bit more, but like you mentioned earlier, it's better to pay a little bit more for a product than having to deal with going to the doctor on a more regular basis or having to take medication. So it's really important to read the labels. People read labels on their food. Start reading the labels and observe where products are coming from. If you really observe and read those labels, you'll be quite astounded at how much product is actually coming out of China, which is not a good thing on multiple levels, but just really kind of taking more time to read things.
And why is that? What would somebody, for example, be looking for with that? Because paint is a common thing people do. And as I mentioned, you know, you might save $30, let's say, on your paint. But if you, you know, weigh that out over, say, 5 or 6 years before you paint again, or maybe 10 years before you paint again, I mean, we're literally talking pennies a day, if that.
Correct. And so many of the chemical sensitivities that people are having usually has to do with the space that they're in. So if they're in a commercial space, eyes watering or feeling scratchy with the eyes, like a tickle in the throat, you have to watch that as well. So these chemical sensitivities that start to show up in people, they're kind of hard to get rid of. You know, even I'm just thinking about magazines. So many magazines, or even that used to be, even your bills that you would get from your retail department store or something, if you had a credit card through them, they'd pop little samples of perfume in magazines or the bills or something. Well, a lot of people are impacted by that major scent that comes through. So if you have extreme sensitivities, you have to really tune into what's appropriate to be able to pull into your home or your work environment. There's a term out there called greenwashing. And greenwashing is something that occurs so frequently. Maybe a label that you have on a product that you think is appropriate. It's basically false advertising. So if the label itself has maybe like a leaf on it or it's green in color, they may say it's natural. But if you really start reading through it and flip it over and you can't say any of the chemicals out loud, it's not a natural product. So taking the time and start to read things, that's the most important feature.
It sounds
China,
like you need a chemical engineer degree to pronounce the name.
Exactly. It's quite overwhelming, but, I mean, it's a simple thing. Even ask the manufacturer. If they don't have something listed on the outside, or if they say it's organic or all natural, ask them to provide the material data sheet so that you can read through what is actually inside that particular product. Every manufacturer has to have a material data sheet, so that would not be something foreign to them. They do have to provide that. However, if it's an item that's made in China, that's a bit of an issue. However, they're not as regulated as we are here in the States. And then from that standpoint, one piece I can share with you, I believe your audience is probably everywhere in the world, but here in the U.S., when Hurricane Katrina hit, there was some product that was brought over here, a drywall product, and it was having a major impact when they were rebuilding several homes. People were having lung issues and a lot of breathing complications. And basically what happened was is this drywall came in from China, and again, their regulations aren't like ours here in the States. And it was off-gassing, and it was basically residue, a chemical that they were inhaling. And so these people who were excited about getting a new home after all this tragedy then became ill because of the drywall. Mm. And that's just, it's just something that we would not think about having to ask a home builder, well, what kind of drywall? Because we don't know where the drywall is coming from. And that's a really big feature, because everywhere in your home, you're surrounded by drywall. So, you know, something that we take for granted is something that can be quite harmful. Even putting paint over it, you know, you can't seal it. That's an unfortunate feature about it as well.
I'm so glad you brought that up, and that was not something I would have thought about. You know, certainly we talk about, well, you've got to be careful of lead in dishes and things like that are coming over from other countries. I would not have thought about the drywall at all, and certainly the average person is not questioning the handyman or the construction worker about where their drywall is coming from. So, you know, that's a great thing. So give us a little clue, then, what makes a product a green product?
Well, depending on different products. So, for instance, cabinetry. Everybody has cabinetry built into their homes. Plastic, is it laminate? Is it, what's the adhesive? That's the one thing. Called urea, formaldehyde. And that's something you do not want on that listing. We don't want any kind of formaldehyde product, but urea formaldehyde is actually an adhesive product that goes into putting cabinetry together. There's a really big feature here in the U.S. that it's cheap. It's easy to get a hold of. Manufacturers pop it in really quick into
that. Amy, I want to just put in a little bit. You're cutting in and out a little bit on us.
Okay.
You're still cutting in and out a little bit here.
Oops, okay.
Okay, there you go. For those that don't know Arizona, and I had this issue in my place, I could literally be in one room of the house and have full bars, and I could step 5 feet away to the next room and have nothing. So it's a little tricky there.
Well, the sad thing is I didn't even move. That's the funny thing. So anyway.
So we're looking at formaldehyde, and laminate is one of the areas that's often found, the urea formaldehyde.
Yes, so watching the products. So again, this reading of labels or asking the manufacturer or the rep or Home Depot or wherever you're going to look at product, asking what makes it a green product or what makes it an eco-friendly product or whatever the terminology is that you want to inquire about. But it's, again, noting what are those key pieces that make up the product. So if it is 100% wood and you have great construction on it and there's no glue, then most likely, yeah, that would be a pretty decent product to purchase. It would also be more expensive versus some kind of easy laminate product that's glued over some inexpensive wood that's a particle board. Again, you just have to really watch what's being brought in.
Okay, so kind of asking where it's coming from and taking a look at what's actually in it. Glues are a good cue to us that that may not be very green. And what does somebody do if they're, you know, let's say, you know, I've got wood stairs in my home. And let's say, you know, hey, Amy, I want to stain things here. It needs to hold up to the wear and tear. What do I do?
Right. Well, what's really fun now is they've come out with soy-based stains. So that's more of a natural product, and it's not off-gassing. So that new car smell, so that new paint smell, that's called off-gassing, where you really smell that intense chemical makeup. So soy-based products, that's available. There's more water-based products as well. Again, a lot of the big named manufacturers are really making an effort to have these low smelling, low VOC, that's the technical term, volatile organic compound. That's what that chemical makeup is. But if they have a low VOC product, it doesn't mean that there's no chemicals in it, but it's definitely a lower percentage than something that's a product that's cheaper, where they're making in mass quantities. So if you look for either zero VOC or low VOC, those two would be better than something that's on the inexpensive shelf straight off the showroom floor.
Well, and the ironic thing is that I find that a lot of times there's not a huge difference in price, not like we would expect there to be to go to a pure product. And, you know, I think that's something for people to keep in mind. And if they watch their ads, if they watch what's going on with the stores, a lot of times there are sales going on, especially, say, like in an area where I am where it's Four Seasons, and it's going to hit a certain point of the year, and they're going to drop all that stuff on sale because they're going to try to clear it out before winter comes
in.
These types of things, I think, are important as well. So I definitely can see that because I had to do a lot of work around my place shortly after I moved into it. And, you know, we had to have a lot of different things. And I can't say that I'm perfect at green, but I did try to pay attention where I could on some things and, you know, pay attention to that. So I think these are some key things when people are looking at these home projects. There's small adjustments. And, again, oftentimes there are maybe coupons out there or things that are going on sale, so you might really be able to get that deal. And again, when we're weighing it out, you know, and we're talking something that's going to be in your home day in, day out, you're going to be exposed to a minimum of 8 hours a day because you're going to be in your home at least 8 hours a day for the average person. I mean, you're in bed that long, let alone your home. That's going to have an impact on your health.
Yes, definitely. And we're hearing more people who are having these chemical sensitivities. Before, you know, oh, you have a headache. Oh, you have a headache, whatever, you know, and we would ignore them. Well, sick building syndrome came in through the 80s and 90s. And so, you know, when we had commercial spaces in particular that were in big time lockdown where no windows could open, all of that stuff, all those chemicals sat in the spaces and people were having headaches or itchy eyes or scratchy throat or, even joint pain, that's often an issue as well. But nowadays, so many people are getting more in tune with what is going into their spaces. I often compare it to this whole idea of reading a food label. People read the food label to know what they're putting into their bodies, and now they're starting to really read labels about what's going into the products into their home too. So yes, it has a huge impact. More commercial furniture companies are getting more involved as well about having better products. And so it actually, I think, hit the commercial industry a little bit faster than it hit the residential industry. But that's one issue. It just triggered something for me as well. I was working with an older couple here in Arizona, and I specifically told them could not attend the when they went to order the furniture. I couldn't attend that meeting, and I specifically told them, do not let the sales rep talk to you about buying into stain treatment on the furniture. I said, don't do it. The material that we're getting, we don't need it. Don't do it, because it's not a good thing. And I even called the sales rep and I said, hey, giving you a heads up now, do not even bring this up to them. And they're an older couple. They were really sweet. And of course, he did it. The sales rep upgraded. They put the same treatment on. The man, the husband, sat in the chair, his brand new chair, and immediately started coughing. His eyes were watering. He had a headache. He wasn't feeling well. And I called the furniture rep and I said, hey, so did you put stain treatment on the upholstery? And he said,
Right.
Lie to me, because we had a major issue with his health. And so what we ended up having to do was just literally set the furniture outside for about 3 weeks and let it off gas in their backyard before we could bring it into the home. Now, how discouraging is that?
And you definitely don't want to do that in Arizona. I mean, no place. I mean, if it's California, you're dealing with fleas. If it's Arizona, you're dealing with other bugs and dirt. And that's the last thing you want to do, a brand-new piece of furniture. And, I think it's just that consciousness. And I think companies are probably getting on more and more with it, and probably sooner than individuals, because a company is more likely to be sued for somebody having health issues resulting from something like that than an individual is. I think that piece too, where, you know, it only takes one or two lawsuits before they're making changes, things. So.
Yes. Lots of change for sure over the last 15 to 20 years or so. It's been a learning process for everybody.
And new things are coming out all the time. So share with, what is green designing all about? Because people have heard this term, they've heard, you know, green this, green that. We know that green is apparently environmentally friendly, but what is green designing?
Well, it's still in keeping with even the term sustainability that starts to fall under that same umbrella. So it's kind of all one and the same. But the impact that we as humans have on our environment, not just our home space where we are, but the actual earth environment. And so trying to be a little bit better about resources from a design perspective, you don't necessarily have to go out and buy a new bedroom suite each time. Maybe your furniture is just fine and dandy, and you need to upgrade a little bit more from a design perspective. You can paint or you can reupholster something that you already have instead of tossing it away altogether. Just really being more aware about the resources that sometimes we think we have, but it becomes a bit of an issue later on. So it's, reducing the amount of impact that we're having on the earth, the future on it.
So it's kind of that aspect of just looking at things. And I think a lot of people, they don't, they look at things and they think, oh, it's so much hassle or it's so expensive to, refurnish this chair. I can just go get a new one. And as you say, I think we want to rethink some of that a little bit because, certainly we're seeing our external resources dwindle, our trees, our life force, and as we do this, this has bigger global impacts that are going on in our world. The fewer trees we have, the hotter it's going to get on the planet, a variety of things. So it's really, it sounds like, looking beyond just what might be the most convenient thing to do sometimes, and rethink that, rethink, hey, you got that favorite chair. Keep that favorite chair. Just give it a fresh look.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And reupholstering isn't as hard as one might think. I've actually done several different chairs in my lifetime and headboards. That's actually been something that's been an easy, quick fix to place into a bedroom. Bedroom is usually the first place that everybody wants to change out. Kitchens and bathrooms are kind of the second in line and the most expensive as well. So remodeling kitchens and bathrooms, that's where the cabinetry issue comes in. You have to watch.
Nope, we just lost Amy there.
Oh.
Kind of fade. There you are.
I'll move again. So cabinetry, kitchens, and bathrooms. So that's usually another location in the home that people try to upgrade. And again, that's where you have to watch what you're putting in cabinetry wise, with the glues being used. Trying to think
What about a lot of people are going to for example, to like stone tiles and things like that in bathrooms. What are your thoughts on that? And we may have lost Amy again in there. She may have to move again to answer.
Stand still in one.
Still coming in and out there.
Okay, hold on.
That's a good spot.
Right here. Okay, I'll stand right here for a bit. Natural stone. So my personal opinion about this is that right now we're at a point where everybody pretty much has travertine or granite countertops or floors. And if you were to see some images of mountains being destroyed for these cabinets or countertops and flooring, it really kind of makes your stomach turn. Natural stone, as beautiful as it is, it's destroying the environment. We're really getting to the point right now as well where that natural resource has started to diminish. And again, these images of mountains being completely destroyed, it's heartbreaking to me, all because somebody wants new flooring or countertops and that appearance. I actually just talked to a group of interior designers in a university setting, and I said, instead of putting in all new cabinetry, or I'm sorry, countertops, what if you were to look at some kind of product that you have right now and create your own kind of countertop, make it something special, something interesting. So we have a product in concrete material called fly ash, and it's a byproduct, but it doesn't make the concrete as heavy as just like Portland cement type feel. But there's now soy stain for concrete. So instead of using natural stone for flooring or countertops, what if you look into incorporating concrete material? So there's, you know, again, it's kind of this play on what you're looking for. The metal bits, so if you had access to like a construction site, or if you know a contractor who's, or a steel plant or something along those lines, the shavings, the metal shavings, they're such a beautiful material, and then it's scrap, it's waste. Well, couldn't that be reused into some sort of countertop? I love the look of resin, but it's not a good product to use by any means. If you just kind of envision resin going around all these metal shavings, it's a nice solid surface for a countertop, and there's really good product out there that is similar to what I just described to you.
Okay. Yeah, because there's so many of these things, and I know people are going to a lot of these things but going, look at this very natural-looking thing, or this stone, you know, it's very, makes me feel like I'm in the environment and things. And I'm really glad you brought that out, because it's not something I would have necessarily thought of right off the top of my head, nor do I think the average person would have stopped and thought about, you know, oh my gosh, the slate and the granite and things like this. Now, I know that more and more people have been having some problems with, you know, those heavy granite countertops and things, just weighing and putting too much pressure on everything, because they're very, very heavy and yeah, you know, weighing on the floor and things like that. And I had somebody asking, what about marble? But I would think that would be kind of along the same lines. Is that also taking off mountaintops?
Yes, yes. If you do any kind of research online and check out some of those images, it really is heartbreaking to see the impact on the climate. I mean, our mountains have so much beauty to them, and then they just start to go down and down and down, and then sure enough, it's just a flat area. So you just have to watch the impact with that particular product at this point.
Yeah, and I think that's good. And thinking about, you know, what can I reuse that's already around? And there are so many different things. I mean, I've found different things, and I can't say that they're, you know, maybe the most eco-friendly, but but I wasn't out buying something else either. You know, at the same time.
And that,
I mean,
you know, and the whole concept of reuse or repurposing, you know, it's already gone through its off-gassing part. So it's not a new product per se, but it's something that you can clean up, give it a fresh appearance. And again, look for these soy-based products. They have stains, they have paints that are all soy-based. Back in the day, so figure about 15, 20 years ago, when people were having chemical sensitivity issues then, there was not the best of product out. So if you talk to a paint contractor about, well, I want this low VOC or the zero VOC product, well, they'll roll up.
We lost you again, Amy.
Oh.
There you are.
Is this better?
That's better.
Okay, so the contractors who you know, they get a better price off of the cheaper paints or whatever. The process of a zero VOC paint or a low VOC paint nowadays is just as easy to apply as regular paint. So if you're not going to paint the home yourself and you hire somebody to do it, you be specific about what the product is, or better yet, you go buy the product so that the painter can't switch it. I actually had that as a situation where the contractor, the painter, wanted to get his commission, so he charged me for regular he charged me for the upgrade of zero VOC paint, but ended up switching it out. And when I came by the property, I noticed the paint can, and it was not a zero VOC product. So you have to watch that part to it as well, because if you hire somebody to paint out, make sure that they're really putting in the product that you want. I did this really great thing with one of my clients on a positive note. We had zero VOC paint, and this couple was newly married, and they loved smelling pine up in Flagstaff. They loved that. So I said, well, what if we try putting pine essential oil into your paint? And we did, and it stayed in the paint, I think about a year and a half, I think, is how long it actually lasted. And my question to the paint manufacturer was, is this going to screw up the chemicals in the paint? And they said no. And they were kind of impressed that it actually held. I was too. For as long as it did, I wasn't sure. I honestly was not sure. So the fact that it lasted about a year and a half, I gave it, you know, my thought was it was only going to work about a month, but it lasted longer than I expected.
Wow. I would not have thought of that.
I know. See, that's the fun stuff you get to do with as a designer.
And I will say, you know, most of my furniture is cinder blocks. So it is kind of a concrete base there with that. But now let's take a look and say, I'm glad you got into the repurposing factor a little bit, because that's always nice. I was going to have you explain that, but we touched on a little bit. Why is sustainability so important?
Well, again, it comes back to the resources, what's available now versus what'll be available for your great-great-great-grandchildren. We have to think about the timing of things right now. Materials are not as readily available. Again, we've just chatted about natural stone and the mountains being depleted at this point, and water is a big issue. Wood is a big issue. And so making sure that if a manufacturer tears down you know, X amount of trees, that they're replanting the same amount of trees so that they can grow. Bamboo grows faster than oak. So it also, you have to think about the species of trees that are being cut down and then what can you replace it with and how quickly will it actually grow. Excuse me. So there's some very beautiful exotic woods that are, you know, they're gorgeous. They have beautiful texture to them and so forth, and you're going to pay a high price for them. But is it really that important to have an exotic wood come into your space? Because that wood is, that tree isn't going to grow as fast as bamboo or something else. So again, you just have to watch, watching the environment. That's really, and I'm not talking about the internal environment in the home. I'm speaking about Earth, Mother Nature, what's going on outside. That's our guidance. When we start cutting down more trees, we're not having as much oxygen either. So that's the filter, the natural filter in our environment. So putting plants inside of a home, that's a great factor to take into consideration, because it helps to purify the air a little bit better as well.
Well, and you bring up a good point, because I think a lot of times when people are thinking about green building and green designing, they're not always thinking about this whole earth environmental connection. What they're thinking of, but I use natural things. I didn't put this chemical on my deal. I made wood, you know. And they're not thinking about, oh, I just knocked X amount of oxygen out of the Earth's atmosphere.
Right.
So I think these are, I'm glad you're bringing this up, because these are some of the concepts that people are not always thinking about. They're thinking it's all natural, it's all, you know, it's all good, but natural is not always good, depending on the situation and what it is. I have somebody, Amy, asking from our chat room about building homes with cannabis and hemp. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, interesting. I don't know. well, there's straw bale homes, which are pretty decent, actually. And then you can use the clay paint product that goes around the walls and create more of an adobe situation. I honestly don't know. Cannabis and hemp, huh?
It's an interesting question to me, because we have so many things that are hemp clothing now and hemp this and hemp that,
right.
And it's in a lot of things. I guess I guess worst case is if your house catches on fire, we'll all be stoned.
Exactly. And that is a bit of an issue. I was just thinking about up at Taliesin West, one of the student housing, it's called a desert shelter, but it is a straw bale home, and they did not do a good job doing the adobe work on the interior, and it actually caught on fire. They were able to put it out in a timely manner with no problem moving out into the desert, but that was an issue. So I don't know. Can I research that a little bit and ask around and see and get back with you on that?
Absolutely. There's nothing, there's nothing like bringing up a new concept, and you're open to these new concepts, and I love it, because you are really on top of so many things with this. And I'm getting a comment from the chat room from this person saying it's popular in France. So maybe that's where you start to research it.
There we go.
There you go. These are interesting things, and I'm glad you brought that up about the straw bale homes, because I always thought about that, and I was like, okay, so you've got the straw aspect in these walls, and I'm thinking, doesn't it, what about moisture? What about, you know, the moisture that comes up through the ground or things? And I'm thinking, I've always wondered about those homes, like, you know, do they collect mold in those bales? Do they,
yes.
You know?
They do. They do. And it is a climate issue. Now, here in Arizona, being in the Phoenix area, it's not an issue because it's a very dry climate. But, yes, in other climates, it is an issue. So you do have to watch the mold. And mold's a whole other topic. dealing with green design as well.
I lost everything I owned when I moved to where I am now in southern Utah, because a place that I lived in Arizona was infected with black mold. Everything I ended up having to put everything in a dumpster because of being infected with black mold from a place I lived down there. So the dry climates are not always exempt of getting that.
So was it in a bathroom or a kitchen situation where there was the mold growing?
Do you know? I don't know. It was not visible to the eyes, so it was not visible on the walls. So it had to be between the vent system. What I did find out towards the end of living in this one place was that there apparently had been a leak in the unit above me, and it had come down, and there was a huge leak in my ceiling in my bedroom area. But literally everything I owned had been infected and ended up in a dumpster. Well, I shouldn't say literally. My crystals survived, thank goodness. But down to the clothes on my back, you know, I mean, it was just everything pretty much. So it is something that we have to think about, and this is another dimension that, you know, people think, well, I'm using these natural resources, and we need to, you know, as you say, we need to rethink some of these concepts of what we're doing and what we're using and things like that. I'd love to have you touch a little bit on bowel biology and what that is about.
Well, I wish I could tap into it a lot, but my studies have not gotten as far along as I had anticipated at this point. but it's basically, it's bowel biology, and it's dealing again with the environment. So, for instance, it's a German background. That's where it's coming from. But it's, so what's called EMF, I think you may be familiar with that term. So electromagnetic field, some people are highly sensitive to electric lines or meters on the outside of the home. I had, years ago, I had a young boy, his mom contacted me because she knew I did feng shui. And so she was asking me, my son's not sleeping, he has horrible nightmares to the point where he's sweating and crying in his sleep. And I walked around the outside of the home, and right on the other side of the wall where the head of his bed was the big meter for the home. And so my first initial reaction was, let's move his bed. Let's see if that helps him so that he can sleep better. And sure enough, it had a huge impact. So he was highly, highly sensitive to the energy from the meter attached to the home. Power lines is another big one. And I've actually observed since I've moved to Arizona that power lines in our area here literally makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. So if I walk around these big transformers, it's super intense. And you can even hear that clicking sound with power lines, the energy of it. So it even now it just gives me a chill. But really kind of tuning in more to, and it's still falling into that regards of green design and so forth about the chemicals and what is it that you're putting into the environment, into your space, and just that extra little piece dealing with EMFs especially.
I think that that's really important. I know myself, I cannot be someplace that has major power lines right on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. I mean, I know that we have, you know, our power lines that run up and down our streets and stuff, but when I get those really heavy duty ones that come in there, I cannot be near those things. I just like cringe around them. It's, I just like, I have to walk away. I can't stay here. So I do know they make a big difference in things, and I can only imagine having the head of your bed right next to one of those meters. That would be like this, you know, that's like that high-pitched sound that animals could hear that people can't in a way. It's, it's just constantly hitting into your mind.
Yes. Well, and the same thing goes with cell phones. Really, you shouldn't have any kind of electronic anything in your bedroom space. TVs, alarm clocks that you have to plug in, cell phones at the head of the bed. That's really not cool. I actually was talking with a teenager recently, and she said that she plugs in her cell phone and then puts it underneath her pillow. And I couldn't believe it. And I said, so how well do you sleep at night? She's like, oh, you know, it's all right. I'm like, no, it's really not. That's not the right answer. So I told her, I said, just try. Put your cell phone 6 feet away from where you're sleeping. Start with that location. Put it on the opposite side of the room. And she told me recently, she's like, you know, I'm sleeping better now.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, all right, there you go. So, yeah, the impact of electronics, that's a doozy.
That's a big one right there.
Yeah, it really is. And the addiction to electronics as well. So that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah. I keep saying, you know, I want more happening with my events outside, because I just don't want to be on the computer as much as I'm on it.
I know.
It's so true.
It's so true. Between cell phones and computers, and, you know, we're just, and it's that instant gratification as well, so.
And those 200-inch TV screens. It really weighs in very rapidly. Now, also, you offer a sustainable building advisor program. Would you like to share what that's about and what people get out of that, what they do in that program?
Sure. So it's a national program. It's in North America. They're based out of San Francisco, so it's a program of nine. Well, the format's changed now. I believe they're running it in a 4-month program now versus the original format that was 9 months. But the website is sbaprogram.com, and people can take a look at that directly and see if it's in their area or not. We have, actually, I just finished up a program over in Los Angeles. We ran it as a 9-week program over there, or 9-month program, excuse me. Here in Phoenix, we ran it as a 9-week program, and that was super intense because it's every weekend for 9 consecutive weeks. But again, go to the website, sbaprogram.com, and then they can direct you to where the class is and the schedule for that area. It's the most beneficial educational program that I have found. I've always been drawn to teaching, and I went through the program initially because I was interested in the format, but then I was asked to facilitate. So we have guest instructors who come in and talk about certain topics that's their industry specialty. They're the subject matter expert. And so you do not have the same person talking to you each week or each class. So within one weekend, you may have between 3 and 4, maybe 5 different instructors who come through. Maybe it's a field trip weekend. So you go out and take a look at facilities that are dealing with sustainable building practices, and you get that full experience. That was what really drew me to it. These were all working professionals who are in the class as well. So it's, you know, not like going back to university where you feel like, you know, I'm a bit older, so it's like I didn't want to go sit with all these young people in class, so it was amongst my peers, and a really wonderful learning environment. And each weekend, you take on a different subject matter. So you start out learning the general, the basic content first weekend, and then you just develop each weekend what's the subject matter. So you talk about sense of place, the difference between an urban versus the suburbs, and what's within walking distance. That's a big one. There's a lot of communities that that are not walkable, where you can have all of your major services within walking distance versus jumping in your car and having to drive to go to the grocery store or whatever the case may be. Talk about materials, indoor environmental quality, water, operations and maintenance. That's another feature that we talk about. It is a program, I would say, probably 70% of the curriculum is geared more to commercial and 30% towards residential. But the principles, the concepts are still outlined accordingly, kind of touch upon both. But it's a really wonderful program. So people can check that website out and see what's available in their area.
And that website address again?
Sure. It's SBA, so it stands for Sustainable Building Advisor Program. So SBAprogram.com.
Wonderful. Yeah, and I think that really is, I remember looking over it at one point, and it really seemed to me like a very, very thorough program, and really got it down for people who are interested in getting into sustainable building or perhaps even just want to, you know, learn more about how to work with their own home and their own space and what to do with that, I think is really huge in that.
Yes, and at the end of the program, you take a two-hour exam. And then if you pass your exam, you become a sustainable building advisor, a certified sustainable building advisor. So it's – and really it's not just for average Joe. When I facilitated the program here in Phoenix as well as Los Angeles, I had a lot of individuals who were incredibly knowledgeable, far more than I am, who actually went through the program because they learned from these subject matter experts even more information. So when you think you've touched upon something you understand, you have this individual who deals with that content on a daily basis. That's their consistent activity. Then dialogue changes because the individual who has knowledge and talks to the subject matter expert, and the conversation goes to a whole different level. So everybody's thinking at a higher level as well.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting when you do get some of those expertises in a program like that, and and you get this whole other background and understanding. And I think that's the interesting thing. I'm always encouraging people, go do something live, not just online. Go do it live, because that interaction brings you a whole wealth of knowledge that you would never get by just taking a flat course online someplace. And you can't replace that. You can't duplicate that any way, shape, or form, at least not in my opinion, can you do that. So share with us, Amy, just a little bit, too, because we've got a little bit of time left here, a few minutes here, 10 minutes or something, about some of the other services that you offer, other things that you're doing, because you have a whole variety. This is one piece of your work. You have other things like feng shui, and we mentioned yoga, and you also have healing touch and Thai yoga massage, I believe it is, and things like that.
Yes.
So,
I when you say it out loud, I sound a bit scattered.
I'm sitting here thinking, well, that's kind of like me. I have all these different areas, and I'm like, how many shows could I do with Amy? A lot.
I know. We could have so much fun together. So you've already mentioned my website for the design portion, so Stevens ID, and it's Stevens with a PH, ID.com. ID stands for interior design. I do feng shui consulting. I even do feng shui consulting long distance. I've helped numerous clients out from a long distance standpoint. Of course, there has to be research done on the client side first, and then they send me information, I review it, and then we do a Skype session where they walk me around their space, and it's virtual in that regards. And so I've done that quite a bit, actually. And then again, the yoga aspect, I've been teaching now for 16 years and got into doing Thai massage and healing touch, and all those modalities started to come together, and it's all energy based. And then when somebody talks to me about an ache or a pain, and then I talk to them about their office desk or chair or what's going on with your bed. And so it again, all starts to tie back together. But I have a yoga website now where I am doing online yoga classes. It's Yoga Amy. So there's two A's, YogaAmy.net. And I've started doing this because so many of my clients travel and needed yoga but didn't want to give it up altogether. So I thought, well, this is the day and age of technology now, so I'll pull this out of my hat, and here you go. Have fun while you're on the road.
And I think that was a great thing to bring in, too. I saw that, and I thought, That's a sharp thing she's doing there to bring that piece in. And it's actually very affordable from what I saw when I looked around on your prices for that. And when we look at the subject topic that we've been discussing tonight, what I really love is that you do have this versatility. And, you're kind of like one-stop shopping, because you are watching out for your clients. You express that, you are connecting with contractors and people, and you are paying attention to what's happening in people's spaces, but you don't have just the design aspect. You've got the feng shui aspect. You also have the aspect of working with colors and things like that. You actually, when you work with clients, if I understood right on your website, create a color palette for somebody. And maybe you can give us a brief explanation of what that does. But you tie the pieces all together. They don't have to go find five people to help with their home.
No. No, I try to be a one-stop shop as best as I can, but there are some things that I don't clearly understand, so I have to reach out to my contacts and get some input as well. But a color palette, so basically having an understanding of what feels good, what feels good for you and your surroundings. So, you know, if you take a look at different colors or food or clothing, I'm notorious for going into people's closets to find out what colors they like to wear. But it's very funny because I had a client who predominantly wore brown and black. And I don't know what it is about this particular client, but did not want to have any kind of white walls or gray. She was adamant about having color. Well, the day that I met with her, and I normally don't wear color, bright colors when I go to a client call. I usually wear black or brown so that it remains more neutral. But I ended up wearing an orange shirt that day, and she said, "I want the color of your shirt on my walls." And it was one of those situations where I was like, huh, okay. They loved it. They absolutely loved it. And there were a couple in their late 60s at that point, and it was kind of like this new part of their life. They wanted more of a minimalist appearance and color and fun. And I tell you, it was almost like they were teenagers all over again. So yeah, the impact of color really, really comes into play. But it's not just about paint. This also gets into, do you need drapes? Do you need a new comforter, upholstery, whatever the case may be. So pulling it all together.
And that's important because I think that sometimes people, they'll get started on something and they'll like the color in the store and that's not the color it ends up on the walls. And they get something and then they realize that the drapes they have no longer match, you know, what's on the walls that they just painted and these sorts of things. So it really does help to have somebody with your kind of expertise to do these. And again, all those little touches from the green, the sustainability, the color paletting, the feng shui aspects, the biology, all of these things, when we bring them together, that's where we step into a space and go, I really like this. I really feel comfortable here. And now I want to come.
That's how it should be.
And that's the way it should be. You should want to go home. You should be able to sleep well at night, these sorts of things. And you know, I so appreciate you giving us your time, giving us your knowledge and your wisdom tonight and sharing these different pieces because we don't oftentimes get to hear these things. You'll hear so many people say, oh, go natural and go this and that, and we get these other pieces. But I think you really brought in some truths tonight that are not always commonly thought about. So I thank you for that.
Well, you are very welcome. And I do want to share one more piece with your group here. When you go to look at paints, please don't look at it on a horizontal plane. Look at it vertically. So that's the one tip I want to share with everybody because that's the most important feature I've always observed about people looking at paint. Don't ever look at it at a horizontal level. Flip it up to the vertical level and then look at it. That's how you're going to see it on your walls. So please keep that in mind.
That's a great tip. A wonderful tip, absolutely. See, it's the small things. It doesn't even have to be the big, giant things. It's the small things that make a difference. And these are simple things. And And if you're not sure how to, you know, refurnish your chair, you can contact Amy, and she'll give you at least some place to go or ways to find that insight or that information. And think about it, you know. Don't before you throw something out, see what can be done to fix it up. And you might even find it's a lot less expensive than going out and buying that new piece of furniture. Amy, again, thank you so much for being here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. It's been a pleasure to have you as our guest. And we've been talking with Amy Stevens, by the way, tonight. And she does all kinds of work from feng shui to sustainable building to green interior design to yoga to healing touch and Thai massage. And who knows what else is going to come in upcoming years. And sustainable building advising programs as well. So tons and tons of stuff, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for this opportunity. Have a beautiful night.
And, you know, again, for those that would like to find out more about the work that Amy's doing, you can certainly do so at StevensID.com, and that's done with a PH in there, ID standing for interior design, as she mentioned there. And absolutely wonderful information. You know, look at what she's got going on there. It's a fun little website. You go over the color palettes on the main page there, and that will be the links to the other pages. And she's a wealth of information, trust me. I mean, just when you think you've got a piece of knowledge that you're doing pretty good with, she can take it to the next level for you. So check that out. She can help you out, as she mentioned, even with feng shui things, long distance. I do want to mention that next week I'm going to have Sharita Starr and Mark Darren McGregor on, and they're going to be discussing with us a new program that they've put together called Forecasting Freedom, and it's really dealing with how the planets influence us in the business world. So this is going to be exciting stuff. Some of you might have remembered Sharita. She kicked off 2014 with me with her work doing a forecast for us, and Mark Darren McGregor, he brings in a fantastic background in coaching Fortune 500 businesses and large companies as well as small mom-and-pop businesses. So this combination is really a dynamic duo that you don't want to miss. And so definitely tune in for us next week on that. My books are out. I've had my books out on relationships for a few months now, as well as my original books, Activating Compassion. You can find out more about them on my products tab at JessieAnnNicholsGeorge1.com. And the relationship books help you to activate the perfect relationship for you, learning how to find, develop, maintain your perfect relationship, and as well as understanding what your partner is thinking, feeling, needing, and how to communicate in ways that strengthen your relationship and avoid the drama. I've also released, again, several events for 2014. You can check those out at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. There's still 7 more to go between now and early February next year. So definitely check those out. I've got videos. I've got monthly specials. I've got all kinds of things on my website. I do new video tips every month. You can go and check those out. Our archive shows are there on my tab, on my page of the Main Street Universe tab on my website. Again, JessieAnnNicholsGeorge1.com. You can also learn on that tab about all of our guests that we have here on the show, give you a little information about what's going on with them, who they are. And I also have affiliate opportunities with my events and coaching services. So that's something, if you like the work that I do, things that I'm bringing to you, that's something that you can check out doing as well for yourself. And I want to mention that April's special deal is I'm offering short coaching and reading sessions, and those are available at only $15 for 10 minutes, $30 for 20 minutes, and just go right onto the main homepage there on my website. It'll give you all the information. It'll give you the promotional codes depending on which time frame you want to take advantage of in there. So very easy to do that. Don't forget that we've got several shows right here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. Sunday nights, we have Darren Bucaire, who's a reader at Madame Laveau in New Orleans, doing spiritual insights. And Darren, by the way, is, I think we're putting it out there. Last I heard from from them in the last couple of weeks that Darren is working on his own TV show as well. So that's pretty exciting stuff that we have going on. And Monday nights, we have Randy Goldberg. Sometimes he's got guests on his show. He also does work in Vedic astrology. Tuesdays, we have Susan Weed, who is sharing her work in herbs and natural plants. And, boy, she is a wealth of information. I have to say, I was listening in the last couple of weeks to her show, and she's been talking about honey and things like that. And she just has an amazing wealth of information of how to use herbs and what they're used for and their whole background. And definitely worth checking out that show. Wednesday nights, we have Daniel, Janice, and Brett on our flagship show called Main Street Universe. And we're also going to be looking for Janice to branch off a little bit here in the near future. And she's going to be creating her own show, bringing in some very interesting guests on that. Thursdays, Queen Mother Omaku looks at Egyptian culture. Fridays, earlier in the day, we have Kevin Baird. He does readings using his Horizon Oracle Journeys deck. And that's a direct deck that he actually created himself. And you can find out more about that deck at templeofgaia.com. And then, of course, Friday nights, we have Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. This is Jessie Ann Nichols-George. Thank you so much for being here. And again, thank you to all of our listeners, not only on Blog Talk Radio, but also those streaming live on PEN, which is known as Pair Encounters Network, StreamFinder, and TalkStream Live, as well as those that are catching our podcast at iTunes, TuneIn.com, and also catching the YouTube version of our show. And a special thanks to tonight's sponsor, Earth Goddess Rising, and stay tuned for a little message from them. I'm also going to look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into activating compassion. Don't forget that if you've enjoyed the show this evening, share it with others. It's going to be available at the same link in our archives, and I'm going to leave you tonight with the song Yearning For, which is also known as Over and Over. It's by Shemshai. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you again next week right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have an amazing week.
The first Earth Goddess Rising Retreat is set for July 11, 12, and 13 of 2014 and will be held in stunning Pagosa Springs, Colorado. Come join us with other men and women from around the world for yoga, meditation, classes, organic meals, dance and music festivities, healing workshops, hot mineral springs, and more. Want more information? Visit earthgoddessrising.com and cash in on the early bird ticket sales, earthgoddessrising.com.
And if I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind. And to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with the season of change inside. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a balance of sun and moon. Oh, deep inside, the light within, shining to show you it's here to begin. When all I have is all I need, I will soar to the edge of eternity. And we see it eye to eye, one within love to be for the divine. And we're walking hand in hand, caught in the balance of God and man. Over and over, life is your lover, learning to walk just a little bit slower. Whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it. No turning back now, this time we reveal it. One to another, all will discover the essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart still yearning for. Thank you.
to the edge of my mind when all we have is all we need. All that we ask for shall be received. And with thee and eye to eye, one within love to be for the divine. And we're walking hand in hand, caught in the balance of God and man. And we are in time with time, one with the season of change in time. And we are in tune with the tune of life in circle and love in turning back now, this time we reveal it. One to another, all we'll discover the essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart is still yearning for. Over and over, life is your lover, learning to walk.